Hey there, and welcome back to Tourism Marketing Mastery. I'm your host, Eric Hedderscheidt, and today's episode is going to be on how to have guaranteed profit.
Hey, my name is Eric Hedderscheidt, and I'm part of a group of independent tourism operators that you've probably never heard of. We deliver experiences that are beyond a photo shoot. When they're not, we actually have to change our guests' lives. But because we don't have unlimited budgets like the big brands, we have to think differently. We have to be clever with our marketing. We need to reach our audiences to make the impact, but we also need to be profitable right from the start. Unfortunately, traditional education is about 20 years behind, and they aren't teaching us what we need to know. So we've decided to take matters into our own hands. We're sharing marketing tactics that work today because we are experienced masters, and what we do matters.
Okay, so this episode, I'm hoping it's not gonna be too long, but I've been wrong in the past about that. So what I wanted to discuss with you today was how to make sure that you have profit in the bank account at the end of the year. And I know that there's a lot of people that speak on this topic, and I am not going to claim to be an expert on this by any means. But where this comes from is I was just thinking about, I was thinking about the whole situation we're in with coronavirus. That's when I'm recording this episode. And because of that, I'm thinking about things that I could work on as far as my back-end systems go. And that led me to a thought process that was thinking about what are things that I've implemented in the past, in the last, let's say, 5 years, that have been relatively easy and have gotten me a significant return on either my time or my money. And as I was thinking about that, I realized that one of the most significant things that I've done in the last few years that's had a dramatic impact on the amount of money in my bank account at the end of the year and watching it grow was something that took me literally maybe 2 hours to implement. And it resulted in a significant number in my business bank account and additional, I'm not gonna say hundreds of thousands, but additional tens of thousands for sure, over and above what I had any other given year in my bank account at the end of the year. So are you curious what that might be? What took me 2 hours to do was actually pretty painless and resulted in a significant increase, tens of thousands of dollars in my bank account at the end of the year. It's not my method, I'll tell you that. It's something that is a fairly simple method. It's from a book I read called Profit First by Michael Malkowitz. I probably am pronouncing that wrong, but Profit First is the name of the book. And in that book, it's pretty simple. I would recommend you read the book. So whatever I say in this podcast, hopefully it's just a seed that plants in your mind. And then you take that seed and you go and you set up your bank accounts and you actually go and read the book, because obviously the author is going to do a much better job of explaining this than I am. He's actually, I believe, a certified accountant and just has a better understanding of finances. But I'm going to try and break this down for you into very basic terms with what I've done with my bank accounts and how that has resulted in a significant increase in money at the end of the year. And just before I get into that, I'm going to go into an analogy that that Michael goes into in the book. And he talks about the concept of the full tube of toothpaste. And I know that this is how I tended to treat my finances. And I'm not saying it's a good thing at all. It wasn't a good thing. But it is how I have been treating my finances in the past. And I know that 90% of the business owners I talk to treat their finances the same way. And I know that because I have intimate conversations with hundreds of business owners and I see what they're doing. And they think, a lot of times they think the way that I think, which is they think like a business owner that's got their hands on the business, on the day-to-day, on the operations, on building things out in the business. And they're not necessarily watching where every dollar goes in the bank account because most entrepreneurs don't have an accounting background. Most entrepreneurs don't have a finance background. And so the money tends to just, hey, there's an attitude, if we do things right, the money will come in and things will kind of take care of themselves. And that's to some degree, that is right, but a lot of times that's not actually how it works. A lot of times, if you're not paying attention to something, it goes haywire on you. And I can say that has definitely been true for me. And 1 year, I decided to do something about it. So a couple of years ago, I made my theme of the year to figure out an easy way to figure out my finances, an easy way to put my finances into automation. And I didn't know what that was going to look like, which takes me into a side topic here. I don't know if I've talked about this before, and maybe this should be a whole separate podcast episode, but I found something that's really worked well for me the last, I think, 6 years maybe, has been actually setting an intention for the year. You know what? I think I did do a podcast on it, maybe around New Year's. But anyway, so one of the years I set an intention around my finances and how do I get my finances figured out and have a better system than I did have, because I didn't really have much of a system going on. And so I was going around, I was looking for different books, and one of the books I read was this Profit First. And Michael teaches you how to set up your bank accounts in that book. And all I had to do was go to my banks. I have two banks because I've got one bank for business and I have a completely separate bank account for personal. And I had that before, but I'll explain why that kind of works well for this system as we go through it. And in each of those scenarios, I had to sit down with an advisor and we had to set this system up. And each one took roughly an hour, maybe not even. So, but once it's done and it works. From there on out, it just works. So here's what this looks like. So what you do for your business bank account, you set up your business bank account. You probably already have a business bank account if you're listening to this. If you don't have a business bank account, then you don't really have to worry about this section too much, but you should think about it because I think everyone, there's a lot of benefits in running your own business. So if you're listening to this, I'm going to assume that you're either running your own business or you will one day. So you go to the bank and you have to set up, in my case, I actually had to set up 6 separate bank accounts. And here's what I labeled them. The first is an account that's called income. That income account, that is where all of your cash comes into. So when you are owed money and people are paying you money, all the money goes into that income account. And it sits in that income account for, in my case, for 2 weeks. That was the recommendation that Michael put out there. And that's generally what I did. I had that money sit in that account for 2 weeks. And I wouldn't touch it. I wouldn't do anything with it. Now, here's why it sits there. I'm going to go back to, I know I started talking about toothpaste and then I left you hanging. Here's why it sits there. Because most businesses, they operate with one bank account, maybe two. And money comes into that bank account. They take a look at it. They see how much money is in there. And if there's lots of money in that account, then they're like, oh, great. I can afford to spend money on things. I can afford to spend money on, maybe I need a new vehicle for the fleet. Maybe I need a new, I don't know, maybe I need a hot tub for one of my cabins or rental units. Maybe I need to put in a new electrical panel somewhere. Like, there's just a million things that are always needed. I need to put in new staff accommodations. Like, there's a million things that are needed. And as you watch that bank account, if there's lots of money in it, you look at it and you say, oh, there's lots of money. Now I can take some money out and I think we can afford to spend some money on X, whatever X is. And then there are times when you look at that bank account and it is slim pickings. There's almost nothing in it. And people ask you, like, by people, I mean staff, maybe they'll come to you and say, hey, I think we need this, or I think we need that. Or maybe a manager comes to you and says, I think we need this. And you look at the bank account and you go, sorry, we can't afford it. Can you find a way of making this work without us spending money on getting the new thing? Or is there a unique way that we can come around this problem without spending tons of money? And you find ways of making business happen. And that's the interesting thing. As a business owner or as a high-level manager, you find a way to move forward, whether the bank account's full or whether it is empty. You find a way to move forward because that's what you're job is. That's what you're supposed to be doing. And the analogy to the toothpaste is, it's like when you get a full tube of toothpaste, and maybe you're not like this, maybe this is just me, but when you get a full tube of toothpaste, you are pretty liberal with the amount of toothpaste that you put on your toothbrush when you've got a full tube, because you're like, oh, there's lots in there, I'll just deploy a liberal amount. And then as time goes on, you get to that last bit in the tube, and for me at least, it seems like I can make that last bit when it seems like there's nothing in that tube. I will squeeze the hell out of it for probably like another 2 weeks, and I am shocked at there's always a little bit there. There's just enough to get by. I'm like, okay, when this thing's empty, then, you know, I'll get a new tube. But you make it work. You make it work. You keep squeezing. You keep squeezing. There's always just a little bit. There's just enough to get by. And so you make it work. Now, the question is, why are you so liberal in the beginning with the amount of toothpaste that you put on your brush? And then in the end, you put like half a pea-sized amount on your toothbrush. And like you're like, that'll work. That's good enough to get us by for now until I have to get a new tube of toothpaste. Because that's a natural human thing to do, is to say to yourself, okay, there's lots there. I can afford to take lots. But if there's little there, then I have to make it. I have to spread it out. I have to thin it out. If we were logical people, that's not how we would operate. If we were all accountants and we ran our business like accountants or like financial planners, then we would legitimately know, okay, we're going to take this amount out of the account because this is what we can ration for this month. But that's not really how most businesses operate. So how do you get around that? If you don't have this problem, then you probably don't need to listen to the rest of this episode. But if you know what I'm talking about, then you might want to listen to how we set our bank accounts up. So let's go back. So I got my business bank account, and there's one account called income. All the money comes into that account, and it sits there. That's essentially kind of like your full tube of toothpaste. But instead of you squeezing that tube and taking toothpaste out of that account, what you need to do from that account is you need to set up five other accounts that you divvy that account into and empty that account into every 2 weeks. And the reason that we do that is because we empty by percentages. And unfortunately, the banks, I don't know why they haven't figured this out, because every finance book out there is written based on percentages, but no bank operates on percentages. Banks operate, the only way you can automate things is if you automate cash flow in the actual amount that you want taken out of accounts, if you want it automatically transferred over. And we will talk about that when I get to my personal accounts. But as far as the business accounts go, that's not how business works. Every month is different. Every month you have a different amount of income coming in. And so you can't just set a certain amount that comes in. So you go in there once every 2 weeks and you empty that account out based on percentages. I'm not going to tell you exactly what percentages that you need to put into these accounts. You'd be well versed to go and read the book so that you can actually make your own informed decisions. But I will tell you that the five accounts that we put money into are these. So we've got the reserve account, we've got operating expenses, we've got tax, we've got owner's compensation, and we've got profit. So let's go over those really quick. Reserve account is exactly what it sounds like. It's money that we are putting away that we have liquid for when we need it for a rainy day. We don't have tons in there, but we have enough that if we have some kind of emergency, we can pull some cash out. Operating expenses we'll come back to. Tax is like it sounds. We have an account that the money automatically gets put into, and it just sits there until we have to pay tax at the end of the year. I will give you a percentage for this account. For us, it's generally speaking, I will put 25% of our revenue into that account, which is more than we have to, but that's kind of the point. I just want to make sure we're covering our bases. So when we do pay tax at the end of the year, we can actually take a bunch of that and it goes into, some of it goes into tax and some of it is basically becomes a bonus. Owner's compensation is what you pay to the owners of the business. So in some of those businesses, it's just myself. In some of my businesses, it's myself and whoever the other owners are. And then we split it up according to the percentages of the contract. And owner's compensation, that usually is going to be a preset amount. It's not a percentage. What is a percentage is the profit account. So in the profit account, you take a percentage. And one of the things that Michael talks about in the book is if you are not making profit in your business right now, then that profit account, just start by putting 1% in it. And he argues, you know, you're not going to miss 1%. Even if you're on razor thin margins right now, you put 1% into that profit account, you're going to figure it out. You're going to make business work even if you're putting 1% in. And then when you figure out that you can survive by putting 1% in, put 2% in. And maybe that takes 3 months to figure that out. And when you've got 2% in there, then you say, I'm still surviving with 2%. I'm making things work. Then another few months later, you put 3% in there. And you work your way up over a few years to the point where you figure out how to run your business by essentially taxing yourself the profit, if that makes sense. So you build up that profit over time. Then there's one account I haven't really addressed in the business accounts, and that's operating expenses. Operating expenses pays for everything else, including employee wages. It pays for every other expense in the business. And that operating expenses account, that's the one that you look at as the business owner or as a high-level manager, and you say, that's the tube of toothpaste I can squeeze from. So that you're not looking at that initial income account and saying, oh, this is the money that we have, and you haven't really allocated, and you can't, it's hard, but you haven't allocated in your mind money to all the other expenses, including profit, that you need to account for when that money comes in. So it's up to you to go in there once every 2 weeks or whatever time frame you want, and you divvy that up by percentages into those accounts. So if that didn't make sense, then you definitely should go read the book. Now let's talk about the personal accounts. So we have the business account set up. Now there are two accounts that actually automatically from those accounts, there is a transfer into my personal accounts. Those two accounts are profit and owner's compensation. So let's start with profit because it's fairly simple. So from the profit account in the business, in the business bank account, the profit account, every quarter, whatever money is in there, I will transfer over to profit in my personal bank account. And that is a bonus. That's what you get because you're the owner of the business. You are entitled to profit. You're entitled to actually have some of that money for yourself. So that's what makes business worth running. That's what makes it fun. That's what makes it interesting. That's profit. And with that money, you can do whatever you want. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, if you're prudent, you save it. I'm not going to say you can't, but we already have accounted for that in another set of bank accounts. So that profit is money that you can square away and you can do whatever you want with as a bonus. That's your money. When it comes to owner's compensation, that is where a lot of things in your life are going to be accounted for in that owner's compensation. So owner's compensation is on the business side. What I do is I transfer a set amount of owner's compensation every month into my personal bank account. And here I have another set of accounts. So if you're taking notes, here's how I have my personal account set up. And keep in mind that you can set yours up whatever way you want. All you're doing is you're saying to yourself, if I was a smart financial person, where would I divvy my money into if I was thinking about it beforehand as opposed to after? So the way that I've set up my accounts, I'll share with you guys, and it's not the way that you have to set them up, but the way I have them set up, I've got six accounts. So I've got daily expenses, and that's where my big chunk of money comes into. And then from daily expenses, when I say a big chunk, the big chunk of money is owner's compensation from the business. So from owner's compensation into the business, there's a set amount that goes in there every month. And then that set amount goes into daily expenses. That goes in automatically. That goes in on the last day of every month. I shouldn't say automatically. I actually transfer that over. So I transfer that over on the last day of every month. On the first day of every month, automatically in the bank, it gets divvied up in two separate accounts. So in the bank, I'm in Canada, so my business account was with TD. My personal account's with Scotia. In the bank, in Scotiabank, the daily expenses has the full amount I pay myself. And then from there, it gets divvied up into five separate accounts. And those five accounts on the personal side are tax, fun, real estate, investments, and home. And as your life progresses and as things change, those accounts might change, because all it is saying, oh, I'd rather put money into something else. Maybe you want to account for your kids' college fund or something like that. But for me, for now, those are the accounts that I've had for the last few years. So I'll repeat them again: tax, fun, real estate, investments, and home. And the percentages that I put into those, I just made these up, but these are the percentages that I put into those accounts. So for all the money that comes into my daily expenses account, on the first day of the month, it gets divvied up. Now, I'll give you percentages. For me, I actually set amounts of the bank, because that's the way you have to set it up. But for me as well, the compensation I get every month, that stays the same, because that's just agreed upon in the business. That's my salary. So out of the big chunk, every month I take 5% and I put it into an account for fun. So I can do anything I want with that account. That's my fun account. That is legit. That's my account where I can go traveling. I can buy a motorcycle. I can do whatever I want with the fun account. And there's a lot of months where I don't do anything with the money in the fun account. It just sits there. It accumulates, because I'm like, you know, I didn't want to buy anything this month. I wanted to keep it in there and save it for a bigger purchase down the road. And that's the way that I treat it. So 5% goes into fun. 10% goes into real estate. For me, real estate is different than like a mortgage payment. For me, real estate is real estate investments. So 10% goes into real estate investments. What are real estate deals that I could be investing in? Because that's where I would choose to put my money, or a portion of my money. Another 5% goes into investments. So 5% goes into, I did have it in stocks and bonds. Usually I'll have something that I'm investing in. Right now I'm actually pulled out. I'm all liquid. But normally that money would go into investments. Right now it would go into that account. And then from that account, it got automatically transferred to my broker, but now nothing's going anywhere, because now I'm holding. So normally though, 5% goes into investments, and then 20% goes into home. And now what's really important with home as well is that 20% that goes into home, the way that I've calculated that out is, if you consider the amount of money that goes into that home account as 100% of the money that goes into the account, what I've allocated is 75% of that money goes to either, if you're listening to this, whether you're renting or mortgage payment, it goes to paying for your living space. So that could be a mortgage or that could be rent. So 75% goes to rent, but then you should save another 25% on top of that for home expenses. Because you will definitely have home expenses. That extra 25%, it'll build up in that account over the months. So that over time, your home account is going to have money that builds up in it that you're not using. But I can promise you, you will use it. You'll use it to buy furniture. You'll use it to maybe you want to do repairs on the yard, or you need a new roof, or whatever it is, you're going to need money to work on your home. Even if you're renting, generally if you're renting, that means that's going to be a lower amount that you have in rent, but you still, there's going to be things, furniture or just things you want around the house. There's going to be things that you want in your home. If you don't, then that's great. I would still save that money, because then it gives you the option maybe of saving up for a mortgage. So, or maybe saving up for the things that you need when you do buy a home. If it continues to build, it's money that you could potentially use for renovations way down the road. But either way, it's saving up some money there so that you've got it for your home expenses. So I know I've given you guys a recap a couple times, but let me just do a quick recap again. So we've got a tax account, a fund account, a real estate account, and investments and home. And the tax account, how much of this, 2040? I actually don't know percentage wise how much goes into tax. It's a decent amount though, I know that. But the fund account, I know, is 5%, real estate's 10%, investments 5%, and homes 20%. And then that home gets split up. 75 goes to actual rent or mortgage, and then the other 25 gets just saved for furniture. Okay. So that's the way I set up my accounts. That was a couple of years ago. And the first year that I did that, really in the first 6 months, and within the first 6 months, I actually had more profit in the business and I had more personal, well, I had more personally in the bank account and I had more in investments than I'd ever had just by setting that up. And it literally took me, like I said, it took me about an hour. And the reason I did it this way is because I'm going to level with you. I didn't have the self-control or the time to expense out every single one of my monthly expenses. I commend the people that do. My sister, she came to me with a system and she showed me every coffee that she'd spent money on and every every thing that she bought for her house. And that's amazing. If you can do that, that's fantastic. I just knew for myself that that wasn't going to happen. So what I did instead is I taxed myself and I told you there's a bunch of money that goes in my personal account, or there's a bunch of money that goes into my daily expenses first, and then it gets divvied up from there. And then once I've divvied everything up, it leaves a roughly, I believe, like 30% of the money that I bring in stays in daily expenses. And then with that 30%, that's what I'll spend my money on for toothpaste or, I don't know, gas or movie tickets or whatever, daily expenses, just things that you spend throughout the day that you haven't accounted for. That way, I can look at that account and say, this is the amount of money I have. This is the amount of money I have left over after I've taxed myself on all those different accounts. After I've taken money out and accounted for all the different things that happens automatically, then I just look at this bank account and this is what's left over and this is what I can spend money on. There are times when I'm like, hey, there's enough money in here that I'll go buy a new suit. And then there are times when I'm like, oh, there's not much money in there. I'm not going to spend any more money this month, or I better not spend any money for a couple of months so I can let that daily expenses account build up again. For myself, that's been a really, really effective method. Some of you are going to be different. Some of you are going to have the self-control where you're going to thrive in a system where you can track every single expense. And I commend you because I wish I was that way, but I'm not. So what I had to do is do it differently. So I'm thinking for some of you might be like me and this might help you out. It's something that I highly recommend that you go, you check out, you try, you do, and hopefully you have the same results that I've had with it. And if you do, what I will say as well is that has come in really handy for me because I have had to definitely dip into some of the money that I've put away. And now I've been able to take out money from that and I can look at it and say, you know what, I have, well, I shouldn't say right now because I've been dipping into it, but I was looking at it and saying, I could comfortably live for a couple of years off of what I've got in my account and not have to stress about anything. And that's a nice space to be in. And I know exactly what it feels like to not be in that space, to be super stressed out about about how much money is in the accounts, or not having money in the accounts. I also am very, very aware of what that feels like, but I also know what it feels like to look at it and say, oh, there's money here, and there's money in investments, and there's money put away in different things, and I can retrieve that money if I need to. And that's a much, much nicer position to be in. All right, I hope that helped you out. If it did, you know what I'd love? I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to just get a review. Just let me know what you're getting out of this, what you're not, any questions that you've got. And if you're really enjoying these episodes, then it'd be awesome if you could share this with either another tourism operator or just even another business owner. I've actually found that there's a number of business owners that have been listening to this podcast because there's a lot of parallels just to business in general. So that's awesome that some of the audience is picking up on that. All right. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your attention. Hope you have a fantastic day, and we'll talk to you next week. Cheers.